Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Met Air and staff have been advised not to talk despair over climate change and to use positive language instead to show people that they can make a difference. An internal memo says using the words like inevitable could create a feeling that nothing can be done and therefore lead to inaction from the public on climate change issues. The advice is contained in a new set of guidelines which were issued last month and were released under a Freedom of Information request. So is this the correct way to talk about the issues we face with climate change, or is it leading the public further into a state of denial? To discuss this, I am joined now by environmental journalist John Gibbons. John, you're very welcome.
Hi, Ciara.
How's it going? Listen, what do you think of these guidelines? Should we be putting a positive spin and a more chipper, kind of an upbeat language around climate change? Or is that just, I suppose, pretending that it's all going to be OK when perhaps it isn't?
Yeah, it's a great question, really. And it's a question experts have been grappling with for probably the last 30 years since we've really understood this issue. And during probably over that 30 years, the main message coming out of science has been that we need to, you know, communicate a positive message on climate change. We need to communicate, you know, the need for action and some of the positive benefits and the co-benefits of climate action. Now, over that 30 years, what's actually happened is not just absolutely nothing, but global emissions have gone up by 60% right around the world. So basically, we've now, having known the problem, having defined the problem, and having decided to approach it, if you like, from an optimistic and problem-solving point of view, rather than even stop the problem, we've actually allowed the problem to become, I won't say infinitely worse, but dramatically worse.
To accelerate.
Yeah, to accelerate. And it's kind of probably, I suppose, the greatest missed opportunity, the greatest tragedy probably of the last three decades, is that while we've known about this, we just haven't been able to find the language to come together and to say, right, okay, we understand this, and now what do we do about it? And I think the Med-Erin guidelines are kind of interesting. I got a copy of the actual guidelines that were FOI'd by Ken Fox, the journalist with Right to Know. And I've had a read of them. And to be fair to Med-Erin, the actual bit that got picked up in the papers is this business about not communicating despair. But in fact, that's actually reworked from the World Meteorological Organization. So they're kind of, if you like, this is a borrowed idea that Med-Erin are sharing. So I wouldn't necessarily pin it and say that they're trying to, you know, deliberately downplay it. But I do think, and I believe they know this themselves, historically there's been a huge, a substantial problem with Med-Erin failing to actually join the dots. And what I mean by that is, you know, the classic thing is, well, you know, we've just had a huge storm. And then the question is, was this caused by climate change? Now, of course, that's the wrong question. The best way to describe it is the likelihood of this extreme weather event increased by climate change? That's the correct question. Now, Med-Erin have kind of slowly come around to this fact, but in their own communications, in their public communications, in their broadcasts and so on, over the last number of years, they've really, really not informed the public, in my view, and in the view of others. And I think this is slowly beginning to change.
Is it their job, John? And I'm not being smart, but Met-Erin, come on. The reason we have weather forecasts isn't to inform us on climate change. The reason we have weather forecasts is to know whether to put on a raincoat or to carry an umbrella. Or people want to know about weather in terms of their daily business. Is it the job of Met-Erin specifically to be the one informing us? Is that not the job of government or environmental agencies or those types of people? Are we asking Met-Erin to do more than is their actual remit here?
Well, their actual remit, Ciara, is weather, meteorology and climatology. So Met-Erin is our national climatology centre as well as our national meteorology centre. So if it isn't Met-Erin's job to talk to the public about the climate signal that underpins the weather variability, then I don't know whose job it is. And I guess, I suppose my view is this. We in the media, you know, when episodes happen, we don't want to be dramatic. We don't want to over-egg the cake. We want to know, look, this has happened, or let's say we've just had another, for argument's sake, once in a 50-year flooding event. Now, it's a good question and a fair question for the media to ask, well, is this really a once in a 50-year flooding event? And it's absolutely unacceptable for, say, Medairn to come along and describe it as, oh, this is a once-in-a-century event. If the underlying conditions have changed so much that, that phrases like once-in-a-century have been retired.
Let's just briefly broaden it out a little bit more insofar as I take what you're saying, but if what we're looking for is action, what we're looking for is action by individuals, by government, by organisations, by corporations on climate change to improve the situation, do you believe, and you're a very experienced environmentalist journalist and activist in this area, do you believe that the best way to get people to act now is catastrophizing and saying, you know what, we have this 12 years left. If we don't change by now, we will never get back to where we were. This is exponentially growing as a problem. You know, all these disaster type scenarios. Or is it better to say, do you know what, you, the individual, if you all contribute a little, you know, should we soften it in order to achieve our aim, which is action by people, governments and corporations?
Again,
Or do we know?
Well, I think we do know, Kira, because we've tried the slowly, slowly catchy monkey approach, right? And Leo Varadkar, for example, recently articulated this with his big idea on climate change for Fine Gael, which is to use a keep cup. And Josefa Madigan last week was quoted, as you probably heard, at the National Biodiversity Conference, saying that her big idea to save biodiversity in Ireland was to encourage people to put up bird boxes, right? This is the kind of incrementalist thinking that has gotten us into this crisis.
And you think that's just simply not enough anymore?
But I don't, this isn't my opinion, Kira. The numbers that I mentioned earlier, right? This system, or this crisis is getting incrementally worse, year by year, month by month, around the world. And what we're doing really is we're moving the deck chairs around with this. And also, I find it really cynical when I hear government agencies and actually politicians saying, look, it's not our job to actually tell people what to do. Why don't you fix the problem? Now, you know, for example, did you ever hear the government say, it's not our job to raise taxation? Why don't you build the road yourself? I mean, you'd laugh at that.
I accept that very briefly because we're out of time, John. Just James has texted and said, here we go again, more hypocrisy from the Green Brigade. Whenever anyone questions their findings on climate change, none of which have come true, they argue that you can't use weather as an argument, yet now they are using weather. What do you say to that?
Well, he's in a very, very small minority. You can engage, if you like, in reality denial all you wish. If you look at the top 10 hottest years since the 1880s, Kira, all of them have happened in the last 11 or 12 years. Now, we can bang our head against the wall and deny reality all we like. And as I said, nobody is trying to be alarmist here. Nobody is trying to make connections between, you know, things that are not connected. What we need is we need to know what's going on. And from the Meteorological Service, we also need them to be our warning system to tell us what's coming down the line.
Thank you for that indeed. That is environmental journalist there, John Gibbons. 53106, what do you think? Do you want to hear a positive spin? Do you want to hear catastrophizing? What would make you do something to change? What would make you vote green, for example? What would make our politicians sit up and take notice? Let me know what you think. Before the news, we discussed new guidelines for Met Éireann employees for them discussing climate change, not to go too hard on it, to try and maybe put a positive spin on it to encourage people to take action rather than turning them off. And James is on the line from CIT. James, you think the public are being protected from the reality of climate change with this more positive or softly, softly language. Tell me why.
Hi, Kira. I believe that the government could be doing a lot more to make the public aware of the reality of climate change because, you know, it is a serious issue and there are a lot of opportunities for the government to encourage people to live a greener lifestyle. And in actual fact, that would be good for the public in that greener lifestyles often save the public money.
Okay.
Yeah, for example, an electric car. A lot of people say, oh, electric cars are too expensive. But in actual fact, an electric car can save you about €4,000 a year on fuel and other costs.
Okay.
When compared to buying the electric car and actually charging it with your own EV panel. So you have your own electric charge point at home, you make your own electricity, and that'll actually save you about €4,000 a year.
Which over a few years would kind of pay for the car to a certain extent, wouldn't it?
It would certainly cover the payback on the car over time.
Okay.
Another point that the government should be making more strongly, I think, is to cut back on meat because meat is relatively expensive. It has a huge impact on the climate change. By eating more vegetables, you will have an impact on the environment that way as well.
Okay. A lot of people are getting involved, and you may despair when you hear some of these texts, James. Someone says, Ciara, the climate Nazis are as bad as the cyclists. They expect everyone else to pivot in line with their perspective. Someone else says, hi, Ciara, I was in Marley Park yesterday and people were having picnics on the grass. It was absolutely beautiful this time last year. We were preparing for the beast from the east. I can't remember a February so mild. I know global warming may be the cause of our own extinction, but I'll enjoy these days while I can. Do you think a lot of people don't care about the environment or about climate change?
It is hard to take it seriously because, as you say, there are benefits to climate change at the moment. And to take it really seriously is very difficult for everybody, including people that would be more informed on the issues of climate change. For the average Joe Soap, it's very difficult to take this seriously because.
Do you think people suspect the climate change scientists of scaremongering and exaggerating? I'll read you a tweet that's come in from James. It says, back in the 90s, experts told us within 20 years, about a third of the world was going to be underwater due to rising sea levels. Where is this great flood? 30 years later, the sea level rise has been minimum. There's a lot of people think like that. There's a lot of people who say the climate scientists are exaggerating all the time in order to get people to change their behaviour, when really the issue is not quite as pressing or indeed as serious as they make out.
There is an international panel on climate change, and they have agreed unilaterally that this is happening. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if you look at there's a lot of stuff on YouTube and on Netflix about what's actually happening to the world at the moment. One you could look at is Chasing Coral, which shows the impact of climate change on the coral reefs around the world, which are being basically depleted at the moment. It really is happening. And I think it's, some people aren't interested, and I get that, they're more serious issues, personal issues, whether it be finance or whatever at home. And it's hard to kind of take it seriously. But where I feel what the government should be doing is making it more real for the public and illustrating what we can do as Joe Public to actually tackle climate change. For example, driving electric cars, flying less abroad, eating less meat, making our homes more energy efficient, which will actually save us money in the long run, improve the environment of Ireland, reduce our taxes with regard to carbon tax and the penalties that we're going to have to pay in the future for not meeting with our emissions. So I think the government should really be taking this issue more seriously.
Just lastly, what do you think of the advice given to meteorologists at Met Éireann about not going too negative, about keeping it relatively upbeat and positive in order to keep people engaged, because people switch off? This is the idea that people switch off when they hear negative, 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 like the way people keep saying to us, we see it on the text lines here every day, bored of Brexit, sick of Brexit, because all they hear is doom and gloom. And even though Brexit is serious and will be detrimental and adversely affect us here, people don't want to hear about it all the time, or they literally disengage. So is there an argument for putting a slightly better spin on it, or is that wrong?
I don't think Met Éireann are the people that should be preaching to the public about climate change.
I asked that question when I had John Gibbons on it, and he said, well, they are our climate scientists, that the climatology is part of their remit.
Yes. Okay. So they can tell us that things are getting worse, but I think there needs to be someone telling us what we need to do to react to this, to try and improve the situation. And I don't think we should be keeping us under the covers or telling us softly about this issue, because this is a very serious issue that's coming down the tracks very quickly at us. And if we don't do something now, maybe it's too late already.
I hear you. Look, thank you for talking to me, James. Thanks for giving me some very good insights there. Science.ie has tweeted us, and they said, we are just five generations away, Ciara, from creating an atmosphere which hasn't been seen in 56 million years. The last time carbon dioxide levels were as high, it helped create one of the greatest die-offs in recent Earth history. I don't know how you can sugarcoat this information. So that's a bunch of scientists who are are very keen that we don't sugarcoat it or placate people or plumose them into thinking it's not such a big thing and, you know, encouraging them to do little bits and pieces. We should be doing something radical. Someone else says, in 1891, the temperature was 18.5 in February. Great show. I guess that's somebody saying that it was warmer then. I believe in climate change. I absolutely do. But I don't know the exact science behind how rapidly change is going to occur or the exact science behind how much needs to be done before we reach a tipping point. I don't know. But somebody else says, Ciara, we need to do loads. We need tax-free new electric cars. We need more offshore wind farms. We need more solar panels. It's probably that easy. Make this government... This government are simply incapable on all levels. Make Ireland green again. It's a very divisive issue. You would think it shouldn't be, but it does appear to be from the text line. Dee, one of our listeners, is on the line. Do you think there is still an element of denial out there? Tell me about that. And the text lines would agree with you.
Hi, Ciara. Love the show. Yeah,
thank you.
I absolutely do. And I just get completely frustrated, really, when I hear people kind of a discussion about whether Metairn should or should not in internal memos catastrophize or not or whatever. I think it's completely unrelated to we have a huge problem. And that last caller, James, was I was sitting here saying that's it, and I think we're in denial. Our emissions are, rising in Ireland, and our government are increasing the national herd, and we're going to be up another 2 or 3% in emissions by 2020. And we're discussing whether or not an internal memo we should. I love the show and love, and it brings up the discussion. And
well,
I
we're not sort of taking sides. You understand? We're talking about the issues and seeing what people think. Really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I ask you, because you're obviously somebody who feels passionately about the need to make changes and to address climate change and for people to be taking action now and those types of things. And I completely respect that, to be honest. But every single time we do anything to do with climate change, and we do quite a lot of it because it is one of the issues of the day, we see on the text lines that a huge number of people, and perhaps they're using it as an excuse not to take action, but they say the same thing. They say, while India doesn't take action, while China doesn't take action, and while giant corporations, not individuals, corporations are producing the vast majority of the carbon emissions, the vast majority of the pollution and all of that, what people do here individually is like somebody putting a teaspoon of water into Loch Derg. It makes no bloody difference. And that's either one, correct, or two, at least allowing people to say, well, why should I care?
I've heard that so many times. And
yeah.
Of course, and that is like, that's the key to an action, isn't it? That, you know, globally, not enough has been done. So therefore, we'll just be inactive, and because we'll stick our heads in the sand and we'll say, but we can't. We have children and grandchildren, and you know, like that tweet you had there from the climate science people. I mean, you know, we're six generations away from, you know, bee populations are crashing, insect populations are crashing. I can see it in the garden here. Biodiversity is under threat, and here in Kerry they're cutting down hedgerows completely, cutting them down. I mean, there's a huge lack of education, and I think the last thing that that people need is a dumbing down of information. I agree, not catastrophizing maybe, but I really feel
you want
that
to hear bold
education is key.
You
really
want to hear bold facts. I do question the idea of spinning facts at all. Facts are facts.
Facts are facts. Yeah, and I understand that Metairn is, you know, is Metairn, but it's also, it is to do with factual climatology. So, you know, while we don't want to be scared to death, people don't want to be scared to death. Maybe they should be. I don't know, but I certainly feel that it's not their remit to be dumbing down information.
I'm not
or hyping up information.
In fairness,
you know,
to Metairn, I don't think that what they're trying to do is dumb down anything. I think what they're trying to say is, look, we need to take action, and you can make a difference. And they don't want to present facts as bleakly, you know, that we're past the point of no return, because they think that people will disengage and do nothing.
Well, I suppose that's the, you know, that's the human condition, isn't it?
You know?
But I suppose I would feel education is key. I'm a teacher myself. Education is key. And, you know, the more we know, the more we don't know, we can turn around and say, well, you know, we don't have to do anything. I mean, all that last guy said, James, you know, about plant-based diets, you know, electric cars, living greener, you know, eschewing plastic, all those things, and we can each of us do that. We don't have to look at corporations or, you know, we can do a lot ourselves.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. And thank you for coming on and talking to me, Dee. I like to hear everyone's views on all of these things. Thank you for that indeed. What do you think, 53106? Should we be bolder and bolder how we talk about climate change? Or does it turn people off? Does, you know, part of me wonders why we don't just all go nuclear, make nuclear as safe as possible, go nuclear and take the waste and dump it on the moon or somewhere where we can't actually live. Would that be a solution? I said that before and someone said it was nuts. I think it's radical. I think it's bold, but I'm not sure that it's nuts. What do you think we should do and how should we talk about climate change? Should we change the conversation altogether? And should we be able to hold other nations, bigger nations to account? That seems to be a key issue for people. Okay, we have a great competition for you. Before we go to a break, I just want to tell you we're going to be sending one of our lucky listeners today to the wonderful world of Disney on Ice. Disney on Ice is coming back to Dublin from May 10th to May 12th. The skating spectacular at the City West Hotel includes characters from all your favourite movies, including Toy Story, Finding Dory, Frozen and The Lion King. Tickets do not go on sale till this Thursday, February the 28th, but you can win a family pass for you, two adults and two children, and an overnight stay and dinner at the City West Hotel on Friday, May the 10th, all this week on the show. So every day somebody and their family will go to the City West Hotel. They'll stay overnight, they'll have dinner and they'll go to Disney on Ice. And all you have to do is tell me what Disney movie this is.
Simba, let me tell you something that my father told me. Look at the stars. The great kings of the past look down on us from those stars.
Really?
Yes. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I.
And apparently I called him Mustafa earlier, but he is Mufasa, of course. But what movie is he from? You can text us now with the word Disney, your name and your answer to 53106 and four tickets to the wonderful world of Disney on Ice on Friday, May 10th with an overnight stay and dinner in the City West Hotel for two adults and two children will be yours, which is a really nice thing to do, isn't it? I think that would be very, very lovely. We're going to take a short break. Coming back up, we're going to be talking about the Momo Challenge.